Scripture reading schedule, as you find it in the second portion in your bulletin, takes us from our journey through the Psalter, and now we return to the New Testament, and that at the book of Acts. So I wish to introduce Acts to you this afternoon. We have a second work from Luke. It's not stated explicitly here, but there is ample evidence to connect this carefully researched history of the work of Christ at his ascension and ascending of the Spirit with that carefully researched history of Luke in his gospel that bears his name. Though both of those are anonymous, there is ample evidence that connects this work with that author, with Luke. And the book can be outlined well in the progress that Luke makes through the history as he gives, as it were, an outline from the lips of our Lord in chapter 1, verse 8, where he records Christ saying, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And the historical record that Luke gives us by the inspiration of the Spirit follows that pattern. Chapters 1 through 7 give the work, especially under the leadership of Peter, but of the apostles, in ministering the gospel in Jerusalem. And then in chapters 8 through 12, there in Samaria and Judea, after the martyrdom of Stephen, where Saul is gladly participating in that. He is approving, and he becomes a persecutor. His conversion is recorded in that second section, in chapter 9, and we see in that second section a bit of a transition as Saul becomes someone who labors in ministry. And in chapter 13 and forward, you see a transition then to the work of Saul, as he is later known as Paul, in carrying the gospel to the ends of the earth. He ends up in the end of the book of Acts in Rome. And so that outline, as it were, can be found in verse 8 of chapter 1, and you can trace Luke's record as he's researched it and carries it through those three general sections. Now, for sake of time, I wish to read in your hearing just a portion of chapter 2. Here, we have that promised outpouring of the Holy Spirit recorded. And as the Spirit's power and authority is displayed, he ordinarily will associate the display of that power and authority with the ministry of the apostles associated with miracles. And here, in this outpouring, there is the miracle of languages being used for all those from around the Mediterranean who were gathered at this time for the celebration of Pentecost. The church, small gathering of the faithful, was in an upper room there. There's the outpouring of the Spirit. They begin speaking in these other languages. And some mockingly suggest that they must be drunk. However, Peter stands up with a power that is manifestly the work of the Spirit in his ministry. And he declares it's not that. And his message, and I wish to read a portion of his sermon, beginning at verse 14, his message is powerful, and we can't go into many details, but let me put before you two very important ones from this portion of his sermon. He cites what's happening here by the prophecy of Joel. And in that prophecy, as he cites it, we learn something very important about how we should handle apocalyptic language. It's very important. And it will save you much confusion if you notice what he says, citing Joel chapter 2, verses 30 and 31, you'll find that at verse 19 of chapter 2, where he says, I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. The Apostle Peter says, that's happening right now. Well, now, they will have noticed that the sun didn't change, the moon didn't change. That's not what the prophetic word, the apocalyptic language, meant, that literally those things were happening. Rather, those were apocalyptic symbols representing a massive transition in what Christ was doing in bringing in the new covenant administration and retiring the old covenant administration. This was apocalyptic. And Peter says, this is happening now. What you see here, just prior to that, he cites where Joel speaks of the prophetic utterances across the young and the old, and the men and the women. These things, he says, that Joel describes, are happening before you right now. And then he goes on to explain what is so earth-shaking that has happened, and he cites from the Psalms the prophecies of David. And especially, you'll notice Psalm 110 cited, where Christ is taking David's throne by being seated in the heavenlies. He says, that's happened. So again, it's important for us from the standpoint of considering eschatology to recognize how to handle apocalyptic language Peter shows us here by the inspiration of the Spirit in his sermon, and what to think of Christ's rule and reign. His ascension is to the rule and reign promised to David. And Peter, by the inspiration of the Spirit, says, I can assure you, David's tomb is here, and David, his body, is still there. David, when he spoke these things, spoke of his heir, his son, and that was Messiah. So, much more we could describe the beautiful pronouncement that he gives. We should note as one last detail, and it is the promise of the covenant of grace ministered now in the new covenant administration in familiar terms. And it's the last verse we'll read this afternoon, verse 39, where he says, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Marvelous thing. Let's stand together and hear this portion of Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost, having been filled by the power of the Spirit, with power from on high for this ministry. It's chapter 2 of the book of Acts, at verse 14. This is God's very word. Let us hear and heed. Verse 14 of chapter 2. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, Men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath. Blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the way of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, and that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne, he, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand, till I make your enemies your footstool." Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you, and to your children, and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call." Thus ends the reading of God's holy word.